The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves he said, "Take these out of here, and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered him and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the Scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning. Well, I want to start right with this gospel, and right at the beginning it says that the Passover of the Jews was near, and therefore Jesus was going up to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was on a mountain, and so one would be said to be going up to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was where the temple was, and the temple is where the sacrifices occurred. You know, every town may have had its synagogue where you would go on, you know, Friday night, Saturday for the Sabbath, and pray and worship. But only the temple is where sacrifices could occur. And there were various sacrifices that were prescribed throughout the year, where different animals would be sacrificed, or sacrifices of grain offerings or whatever else. And that was only in the temple. You could only do that in the temple. And it was customary for Jews, when celebrating the annual feast of Passover, to go to Jerusalem to celebrate that feast. And so here we have our Lord going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Passover. But let's look at what the feast of Passover is for just a minute. Do you remember when the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt and Moses came along and was trying to free them from Egypt, from their slavery to Egypt? Remember, Moses went to Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And the Lord told Moses about these 10 plagues that the Lord was going to inflict on Egypt until eventually the Lord would let them go. Remember, there were those 10 plagues, the water turning to blood and the gnats and the frogs. And finally, the Lord had told Moses that he was going to inflict this 10th plague, which would finally convince Pharaoh to let the Israelites go. And remember that what that 10th plague was. The 10th plague was that the firstborn male of every human and of every animal was going to be killed in the night. But the Lord told Moses, he told him about this plan beforehand, and the Lord told Moses what to do. He said, "This is the first of the month, and you're going to procure a lamb, a spotless lamb. You're going to keep it for 14 days. And then on that 14th day, you're going to slaughter the lamb. And you're going to take its blood and you're going to put it on the doorposts. And you're going to have all the other Israelites in Egypt do that. They're going to all do this with the lamb. They're going to take its blood, put it on the doorposts. They're going to eat its flesh with unleavened bread." And that night, when the angel of the Lord goes through Egypt, striking down the firstborn, he will pass over the house that has the blood on the doorpost. That's where we get the name Passover, the Feast of Passover. The angel of the Lord passed over those houses that were marked with the blood of the Lamb. And sure enough, Moses told the Israelites to do this. They all did this. And in that night, the angel of the Lord went through Egypt and struck down the firstborn male of every single house and of every single animal, and passing over those houses of the Jews which were marked with the blood of the Lamb. And of course, at that, Pharaoh did finally let the Jews go. In fact, told them, get out. And we know the rest of the story. Once they were out in the desert, Pharaoh eventually pursued them, and finally got washed away in the Red Sea. They crossed through, the Jews crossed through dry shod, and Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers all got washed away. And then they were in the desert. And remember, once they were there, Moses received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai. And that's where our first reading picks up today. The Ten Commandments were the way that the Israelites were going to show God, because of course actions speak louder than words, those were the ways that they were going to show God that they were his people. Because he had proved himself, if you will, as their God by freeing them from this bondage in Egypt. But he gives them these commandments and he says, this is how you will show that you are in fact my people, by observing these commandments. And then, of course, he tells them to celebrate the Passover annually, and the same deal, to get that spotless lamb and to slaughter it and to eat its flesh with unleavened bread. So fast forward to the gospel here. This is the context of what's going on in the gospel. Our Lord is going up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And it says when he's there, as soon as he walks into the temple area, he kind of loses it. And he begins to flip out because there are these people selling animals, money changers, and he makes this whip out of cords and drives them out. Often I find myself telling people in confession, especially when someone says, oh, I get really angry. I like to tell people, well, our Lord himself got pretty angry. You can read about it in the Gospels, and this is always the example I point to. I said, he got a whip and started beating people. I said, our Lord himself experienced anger. Now, he was also without sin. And so this is perhaps not an example for us to emulate, but we know that our Lord was without sin, and yet this was a righteous anger here. We hear him quoting, you know, the disciples recalling scripture, zeal for your house will consume me. And let's just a brief aside, why were there these money changers and the animals? And well, when you would go to the temple, as I mentioned before, the temple was the place where you offer sacrifice. When you would go to the temple, you couldn't buy the animals for the sacrifice with the Roman currency, which was the currency in Jerusalem, because that bore the image of Caesar on it, and it was considered sacrilege to buy these animals with foreign currency. And so you would go to the temple, you would do a little money change, you would exchange your Roman currency for a temple currency, and then with that temple currency, you could then go and buy those animals there and bring them into the temple and hand them over to the priests to slaughter and offer up. And our Lord is flipping out here not because people are offering sacrifice. It's a good thing for people to offer sacrifice. Our Lord did not come to abolish sacrifice. Our Lord did not come to abolish organized religion. The reason our Lord is flipping out here is because he realizes that this has become such an external thing for people and they haven't allowed it to affect them internally. And that's why he's flipping out, and that's why he's saying, stop making my Father's house a marketplace. And he flips out, and the Jews wonder about his actions here, and they say, what sign can you give us? What do you have to say for yourself doing all of this? And he says this great line, he says, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. And of course, they all think he's referring to this temple right behind him, this huge temple, and they say, it's been under construction for 46 years. What do you mean you're going to raise it up in 3 days? And of course, our Lord doesn't say, well, I'm talking about the temple of my body. John the Evangelist tells us that here, that this is what's going on. So I wanna wrap up by making this connection here between the feast of the Passover and the Mass. Because like I just said, our Lord did not come to abolish religion, to abolish sacrifice, to abolish organized religion, as much as some people would like to think that that's what he came to do. Our Lord came to elevate it, to purify it. And look at these connections here. You know, the temple was the place, as I said, where sacrifice was offered. You had to go up to Jerusalem. You had to go to the temple. In Christ's new form of worship, which he is beginning to inaugurate here in this gospel, and which, of course, he does, he finalizes really at the Last Supper, which was itself a Passover meal. Our Lord says, no longer do you go up to Jerusalem to worship in the temple. He says, my body is now the temple, that I come to you, if you will. And that's what allows us to celebrate Mass anywhere in the world. And I was celebrating Mass last night in the school gym, and I was preaching on this, and I said, this is the beautiful thing, is that here we are in the middle of a school gymnasium, and yet our Lord is coming to us. His body is the temple. And the spotless lamb. Remember at Passover, they had to procure that spotless lamb, and they had to take its blood and put it on the doorpost so that the angel of the Lord would pass over and not kill them. Well, and they would eat its flesh. We do the same thing in the Mass. Christ is the spotless lamb. We eat his flesh under the form of unleavened bread. And we drink his blood, and in a sense, we are putting that same blood of the spotless lamb on the doorpost of our bodies, on our lips. That's the idea of it, is that by consuming the precious blood, that we are marking our bodies, if you will. And by the way, a quick little aside, whether or not you receive communion under one species or the other, you are receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity. So even though we don't do both species here, just by receiving the sacred host, you are receiving the body and the blood of Christ. And finally, the priest. In the old law, it was the priest who would then have to take that lamb and offer it up and sacrifice it. Christ here, not abolishing the priesthood, elevating it, Christ himself is the priest. So Christ has become all three of these. Christ has become the new temple. Christ has become the lamb of sacrifice itself, and Christ has become the priest. And in just a few minutes, when through the ministry of the priesthood, Christ works through me to take bread and wine and to turn it into his own flesh and blood. And then as priest, to offer his own flesh and blood up to God the Father. And then gives to us to receive, that we receive that same flesh and blood of the Passover lamb. The result, brothers and sisters, is the exact same. Just like in the old law, the angel of the Lord passed over those who were marked with the blood of the lamb and who had eaten his flesh, and they were freed from their bondage of slavery in Egypt. So we too, who eat the flesh and blood of Christ, will be freed from our slavery to sin and to death. I forgot which saint it was who said this, but some saint had said something. They said, one single reception of the sacrament of communion is enough to get us to heaven. One single reception of the sacrament of Holy Communion is enough to make us a saint. Now, most of us, I think, need an entire lifetime of receiving Holy Communion to make us a saint. But let's never downplay the significance of Holy Communion. Let's allow ourselves to understand better what is going on here in the Mass.